The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 502 of the Sports Report podcast. Happy 2018, everybody. Paul Roberts with you on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv. New shows every week on iTunes. Check us out in the podcast section there. Keep those five-star reviews coming. We always love to see that. And of course, you can respond on Twitter at the Sports RPT. That's my handle on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. We have a lot to get to. Another exciting show coming up. College football. We'll talk about the national semifinals and some other bowl games. Tell you how some conferences did. Plus a Roberts rant on college football and the playoff system. I'll also give you the odds to win the Super Bowl. You know, we like to check in on what the people out in the desert, out in Las Vegas, are thinking. We'll talk about all the coaching changes so far in the National Football League and maybe some changes that you were expecting that did not happen. John Gruden's name is out and about. We'll talk about that and look ahead to wild card weekend in the NFL and why you may not want to get too excited. I know everybody's pumped for the playoffs, but I'll tell you why you may want to hit the brakes a little bit. Plus, we'll mix in a little hockey, some thoughts on the Winter Classic, all of that coming up here on episode number 502 of the Sports Report podcast. Hope you had a fun and safe New Year. I had to work early morning on the radio on New Year's Day, so I didn't do anything New Year's Eve. And to be honest, even when I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, I didn't do a whole lot on New Year's Eve. To me, that was always amateur hour. Bars were too crowded, too packed. Service was poor. You're dealing with meatheads out there that, for some reason, are just looking to start trouble, to start fights. You have people who don't go out all year long, don't know how to handle their booze, and then they just go crazy on New Year's Eve, and they're bumping into you, they're spilling drinks. You know, I just was not a fan of New Year's Eve going out. I'm all about having people over, small get-togethers at the house. That, I think, is the best way to ring in the new year. But all the best to you and your family in 2018. We really appreciate all of the loyal listeners over the years and everyone following on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Usually we record new shows on Monday. This week, again, I'm doing on Tuesday because of not only the holiday, but I wanted to be able to talk about the national semifinals in college football. Obviously, the second game, Alabama and Clemson in the Sugar, did not even kick off until 9 o'clock. So coming at you on a Tuesday this week here on the Sports Report podcast. Well, some people thought that it was a down year for the SEC, maybe not as good as the past. And when it's all said and done, who are the two teams in the national championship game? Georgia and Alabama, both from, you got it, the SEC. Oklahoma from the Big 12 had a chance. Clemson from the ACC had a chance. But nope, we have two SEC teams in the championship game. Georgia beat Oklahoma in an instant classic. Twitter was just exploding about this game. Double overtime, 54-48 in the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. The Bulldogs blocked a field goal in the second overtime period. I always harp on that third phase of the game, special teams, the kicking game, even in the NFL. I mean, we see extra points missed every week in the National Football League. Here was a field goal blocked. So now Georgia just needs a field goal to win. They said, to heck with that. Sony Michel on their second play of that drive, 27 yards to the house, a walk-off touchdown, game winner for Michel. 181 yards on just 11 carries for him. He finished with 4 combined touchdowns. Nobody's going to be talking about that fumble anymore. They're just going to be looking at that game winner that he scored. And they also have Nick Chubb in the backfield. I mean, it is sick, the running back talent that Georgia has. Chubb, all he did was go for 145 yards on 14 carries. 10 yards a pop in a national semifinal. He had 2 touchdowns. And how about the freshman, Jake Fromm? First freshman to start in the Rose Bowl since a guy I know, Chad Henne, because he went to the same high school. Good old Wilson High School in West Lawn, Pennsylvania. Kerry Collins also went to Wilson, then of course went on to Penn State. Chad decided not to go to Happy Valley, went to Michigan instead, and he's still in the NFL as a backup. But from the first freshman to start since Henne in the Rose Bowl, and he was very efficient, played a good game, 20 of 29, 210 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he didn't make critical mistakes. No interceptions. You know, sometimes we only look at the touchdowns. Those turnovers are backbreakers, and Fromm did not have any picks in this game. The Bulldogs were down 17 in the final seconds of the second quarter. I mean, at that point, I think most people thought, this baby is over. At that point, nobody was thinking about double overtime. And if you were, your friends are probably saying, man, are you still hung over from last night? But they came back, and that squib kick, I mean, they just gave away 3 points right there. Georgia got the 55-yard field goal right at the buzzer after Oklahoma went with that squib kick. So that backfired, and you think about how valuable those 3 points are in a game that ends up going to double overtime. The Dogs were up 7 in the fourth quarter. So they go from down 17 to up 7. Then the Sooners put together an 88-yard touchdown drive, and they did it in no time. I mean, went up and down the field less than 2 minutes. And then, speaking of turnovers, Sony Michel coughed it up. Steven Parker, scoop and score. So now with 7 minutes left, Georgia is down after Michel fumbles and Oklahoma scores. But the Bulldogs did not panic. Fromm did not panic. They went about 60 yards to tie it up with 55 seconds to go. It is 45 all. Hope you had the over. I thought Oklahoma was conservative in the first and the second overtime. I mean, you have Baker Mayfield, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He's supposed to be this gunslinger, got you where you are, a fearless player, mixed in a bunch of runs there. I just thought the Sooners were conservative with the play calling in overtime. And of course, you get that field goal blocked, and that set the stage for the game winner for Georgia. Listen to some of these numbers. 1,058 total yards. Can you tell that a Big 12 team was playing this one? That's Big 12 defense there. Two magical words, defense optional. Georgia ran for 317 yards, 9 yards a carry. That is ridiculous. In the nightcap, it wasn't about offense. It was defense, defense, and more defense, especially from Nick Saban's crew. They were ferocious. Alabama rolls over Clemson in the Sugar Bowl, 24-6. The Tide pulled away in the third quarter. 2 touchdowns in 13 seconds. How about the big man? The defensive tackle is about 310 pounds. Deron Payne. He has an interception and some yards after the pick there. Plus, they had a horse collar tackle, so 15 more yards. Then he catches a touchdown pass. Unbelievable. The defensive tackle in the end zone. You love to see the big guys running with the football, don't you? And then right after that, deflected pass, a pick 6 from Mac Wilson from 18 yards out. And all of a sudden, that game just got blown wide open. 24-6 at that point, and that was the final. Clemson held under 200 total yards, 188 to be exact, 260 yards below their season average, and couldn't run the football a lick. under 2 yards a carry for that Clemson offense. Kelly Bryant, who I think has a bright future, big quarterback, only 50% in this game, 18 of 36, just 124 yards, two interceptions. In fairness, this guy was under siege. The story of the game was Bama's defensive line. I mean, they were dominant, and they were playing the run with five guys. I mean, when you can stop the other team's run game with five guys and you can cover with six, you're going to have a lot of success. You look at those defensive linemen. I mean, it's all like they're out of the world's strongest man competition. I mean, they're all chiseled. They all look like pros, all look like guys are going to be out there on Sunday. And they were the story of the game. So, Alabama, Georgia, next Monday down in Hotlanta. The Tide 12-1, the Dogs 13-1. Nick Saban against his former defensive coordinator, Kirby Smart. Saban going for his sixth championship, and that would tie the legendary Bear Bryant. Who do you like? Let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. I don't go against Tom Brady, Clayton Kershaw, and Nick Saban. So that'll tell you where I'm going here. I liked Alabama to beat Clemson, and I like Alabama over Georgia. Still a great season for the Bulldogs, but no way am I going to go against Nick Saban in this spot. Like I said, I'm not going to lose by betting against Belichick, Brady, and the Patriots. Not going to lose by betting against Kershaw, and not going to lose by going against Nick Saban and Alabama. So they take care of the Tigers 24-6. More on college football coming up. We'll talk NFL playoffs, talk about John Gruden and some of the coaches that got canned, a little hockey. It's all on episode 502 of the Sports Report podcast. Happy New Year again. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by our great sponsor. They've been with us for a long, long time. That is iHome. And iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which will help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and also white noise that are designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce, he is known as the Sleep Doctor. Pretty cool nickname there. The Sleep Doctor recommends these new iHome products, and he is the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So I want you to go to their website. That's iHomeAudio.com and take a look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. You can also enter the code SPORTS for a 25% discount off of your purchase. Again, that website, iHomeAudio.com. Some other bowl games that I want to touch on here. Michigan loses to South Carolina 26-19 in the Outback Bowl. The Gamecocks scored the last 23 points in the game. Michigan fans were in disbelief. Some of the crowd shots were hilarious. Five turnovers for Michigan in the second half. Jim Harbaugh's club goes 8-5. This guy gets a lot of attention. His teams get a lot of hype. I thought they were overhyped this season, considering how much they lost to the NFL draft. I ended up being right on that one as they go just 8-5 and lost three in a row. That's not going to sit real well in Ann Arbor. They have to find a quarterback, whether it's the pro game, the college game. You don't have a quarterback, you don't win. And how about the Big Ten? Big Ten had been 7-0 in bowl games before that Michigan game. You look at the Pac-12, for example, 1-8 in bowl games. So the Big Ten made a splash this bowl season. You had Wisconsin over Miami, and that was down there. And the Badgers go to 13-1 on the season. Penn State was able to hold off Washington 11-2. Saquon Barkley with a 92-yard touchdown run in that game, and he's declared for the NFL draft. That was a no-brainer there, but he did play in that bowl game. A lot of these high-profile guys now that are going to be high picks in the draft aren't playing. Barkley did and made a big impact. Trace McSorley was also perfect on third down in that game. He was 12 for 12, almost 200 yards, two touchdowns just on third down, which is the money down. What a job by James Franklin. And I know because I'm only a couple hours from State College, a lot of Penn State fans were iffy about James Franklin when he was hired, and even last year, and they end up winning double-digit games back-to-back seasons. Ohio State took down USC. The Trojans were pathetic, 24-7. Their offense did nothing. The Buckeyes go 12-2. Michigan State knocked off Washington State. Now, I thought this was a gimme. It did not surprise me at all here. Washington State's quarterback was out. Michigan State rolled 42-17. How about the turnaround there? The Spartans go from 3 wins to 10. Speaking of turnarounds, Notre Dame from 4 wins to 10. The Irish beat LSU in the Citrus Bowl 21-17. How about that amazing catch at the end of the game by Miles Boykin? Who needs two hands? He went up with one hand, avoided two defenders. Terrible defense by LSU. They gave up a 55-yard score to give up the lead with just a minute 28 left in the Citrus Bowl. But a nice turnaround season there for the Irish, plus 6 in the win column. And then Central Florida upsets Auburn. Auburn was favored by about 13 points in this game. 34-27 the final score in the Peach Bowl. And I watched this whole game. This wasn't a fluke, okay? Central Florida deserved to win. Central Florida was the better team. In fact, they missed some opportunities early in this game. They missed a wide open touchdown pass over the middle. And I thought their quarterback was the game changer, the difference maker in the game. His mobility, the ability to beat Auburn, not just with his arm, but also his feet. So they win this by a touchdown. And they missed a field goal late. They had another field goal blocked. So don't get this one twisted. UCF was the better team. And that's a program a couple years ago went winless. How about the job that Coach Frost did with Central Florida? The Knights end up 13-0, which brings me to a Roberts rant. And I've said this for a long time, so this is nothing new. You've heard it before. But because of what happened with UCF, I think it bears repeating. We should have an 18 playoff in college football. The little guy gets screwed. UCF has no shot in the current format. The Knights were 12-0. They didn't lose a game. And they were only ranked number 12 in the college football playoff rankings. Number 12. The solution is simple to me. You take your Power 5 conference champs, you put them in. So now you got 5 teams right there. Then you take the highest ranked non-Power 5 team. Now, if you want to write into this that if that team is not in the top 25, they don't automatically go. If you want to make that stipulation when you redo the format, okay, I'm fine with that. But it should be the highest ranked non-Power 5 team. And that still leaves 2 spots for at-large teams. 8 in instead of 4. Done. Real simple. And then the conference champions can't whine about getting shut out, about winning their conference championship game and not getting in. We're putting you in, and we're still going to have 2 at-large teams. And you know they're going to come from power conferences as well. And some teams will still be left out, but 8 is better than 4. And I think this needs to happen. One reason we love the NCAA basketball tournament, the little guy has a shot. Cinderella can dance. That can't happen with this format. And that's a shame because UCF is pretty darn good. And we just talked about the SEC, both teams in the championship game. If you saw Auburn this year, they were legit. That was a really, really good team. This team beat them. And it could have been worse than 7 points. Trust me. I'm not someone who just watches highlights. I watch games. And Central Florida was the better team. So this needs to change. We need to go from 4 to 8. I know some people want 16. I wouldn't be opposed. Not at all. But at least give us 8, right? If you disagree, you can weigh in on Twitter at the Sports RPT. That's my handle on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. This isn't really a rant, but another quick hitter here. As far as hockey goes, the Winter Classic, the 10th Winter Classic, was held at Citi Field, and it sold out, nearly 42,000. But I wonder, unless you're a diehard hockey fan, did you pay any attention to this game? And it was a good game. The Rangers and the Sabres went to overtime, and New York wins it 3-2, game-winning goal by JT Miller. So the Rangers are now 4-0 in the regular season in these outdoor games. They probably want to play in the Winter Classic every year with a record like that. The game time temperature, by the way, was 20 degrees. No thanks. I'll stay inside, watch it on my flat screen TV. But I didn't watch a second. I'm being honest with you. I think it's just overshadowed by all the college football on New Year's Day. Plus, you have family get-togethers, you have parties and things like that. I think the NHL needs to find a different date. I like the concept. I think it looks really cool, these outdoor games, whether it's at a baseball field like Citi Field or a football stadium, wherever you want to have it. I think it looks cool. I think the idea works. But different date. I'm focused on Central Florida upsetting Auburn or Michigan playing, Notre Dame playing. I mean, all that's going on at the same time. I'm just not going to pay attention to Rangers and Sabres. So I'm all for the Winter Classic. I just like to see a different date. You can weigh in on that as well on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. This is episode number 502 of the Sports Report podcast. Let me know what you think. We love the 5-star reviews. If you listen in the podcast section of iTunes, just go there, type up a quick little 5-star review that helps to promote the show. We are also on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv. You can go back if you want, listen to all the previous shows. All right, let's talk NFL, and let's get to the Super Bowl odds here. This is to win it at the Westgate Book in Las Vegas. The favorite, surprise, surprise, the New England Patriots. Who would have thunk it? They're the favorite at 2-1. The Vikings are the second choice at 4-1. Love that defense. Steelers at 9-2. Saints 5-1. So there's a trio there, very, very similar. Vikings, Steelers, Saints, all between 4-1 and 5-1. Then you have a couple other teams, the Rams at 12-1, and I think that's a great value. You know, in horse racing, and I like to play the ponies, especially the big races, the Triple Crown, I look for value. I like the Rams at 12-1. I mean, you have Jared Goff at quarterback. You have Gurley at running back. You have Aaron Donald at defensive tackle. I mean, those are studs. Those are some of the best in the league at their positions. I like the value of the Rams at 12-1. I think we haven't adjusted yet to the fact that this is a really good team and the job that Sean McVay has done as head coach at just 31. I mean, that offense scored more points than anybody. Patriots, Saints, anybody. They scored more points. And then the Eagles are 15-1 right behind the Rams. Now, you don't have Carson Wentz, so obviously that's why they dropped considerably, even though they are the number one seed. And Nick Foles has looked terrible in these past couple games. Did not look good against the Raiders in prime time, and it did not look good in this last game against the Dallas Cowboys. At 20-1, you have three teams, the Falcons, the Chiefs, and the Jaguars. Of those three, give me the Jags, just because I think that defense is scary good. They could win a game on their own, along with special teams, and they can definitely keep you in a game. And then you have the Panthers at 31, and the Titans and Bills at 100-1. Those are the two long shots there. Buffalo and Tennessee, 100-1. Coaching changes. Cardinals, Lions, Bears. Oh, my. Now we have more. Raiders, Colts, Giants. They're all looking for head coaches. Jack Del Rio got the Raiders in the playoffs last year. Now they said, There's the door. Hugh Jackson stays put in Cleveland. I don't get this at all. The guy is 1-31 in 2 years. 0-16, and you keep your job? Come on. I will give the Browns credit for this. Week in and week out, they did find new and amusing ways to lose. It wasn't the same way every week. This last game against the Steelers, you had the drop pass there, right in his hands on fourth down. I mean, right there. Make the catch, you have a chance, drop. So they did provide comic relief for the league. Vance Joseph stays in Denver. Broncos were 5-11 in his first year. Again, I talk about the quarterback all the time. You don't have one in Denver, you win five games. Bottom line, at the pro level, it's about the players. You got to have elite players if you want to win big. And Marvin Lewis, I mean, is he really staying in Cincinnati? Adam Schefter of ESPN reported in mid-December that Lewis was planning on leaving, and it hasn't happened. And Schefter's really good at what he does. Marvin Lewis has been in Cincinnati for a decade and a half, has never won a playoff game. They got in, have never been able to win it. The combination of Andy Dalton, the quarterback, and Marvin Lewis. And how about what they did to the Baltimore Ravens? Oh, man. Heartbreak City, USA. 4th and 12. You give up a 49-yard touchdown pass to Andy Dalton and the Bengals? Oh, that was like a punch to the gut. Terrible start to the game for the Ravens. And then they had that long kickoff return to set up a touchdown right before halftime. And then they come out, take the lead, and then they give it up in the final minute on a 4th and 12. Brutal, brutal way for the season to end for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the bright side of that is it opened up an opportunity for the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills are dancing. They're in the tournament. First time since 1999. That's when I graduated college. Man, oh man, oh man. Buffalo in at the number 6 seed. That game's Sunday at 1:05. So let's look at the wild card round. And I know everybody's pumped for the playoffs and we love it. And we're all going to be glued to all these games. Let me just remind you, last year, this is what happened in the wild card round. Green Bay over the Giants, 38-13. Seattle 26. Detroit 6. AFC. Houston beat Oakland 27-14. Connor Cook at quarterback there. And Matt Moore was at quarterback for Miami. No shot against the Steelers. 30-12. So the closest game was a 2-touchdown game between the Raiders and Houston. That was the closest game. You had the Packers over the Giants by 25. You had the Steelers over the Dolphins by 18. You had the Seahawks over the Lions by 20. Wild card round, sometimes it's not real good football as far as coming down to the wire. And if I don't have a horse in the race, that's what I want to see. Games that come down to the end. That did not happen last season in this round. On Saturday at 4:35, you're going to have Kansas City at home against Tennessee. Tennessee has been very blah of late. Mariota has not been 100%. Kansas City looks like it's back on track. They've won 4 in a row, and that's a serious home field advantage, much like playing down in New Orleans. And Vegas has Kansas City favored by 8 or 9. So that's the first game Saturday. And then Saturday night, 8:15 Eastern, Rams home against Atlanta. Rams favored by about 6. Atlanta's one of those teams, I think we keep looking back to last year. They just haven't been as explosive. Did you know that the Rams have scored 125 more points than the Falcons this year? With Matt Ryan at quarterback, Julio Jones at receiver, as well as Sanu, Devontae Freeman at running back. So you got to like the Rams here. I still don't think they get enough credit. Sunday, first game at 1:05 again. Buffalo, the 6th seed at Jacksonville. I don't know how the Bills are going to score against that defense. And they're saying that Shady McCoy just sprained the ankle. X-rays were negative. But clearly, the guy was carted off the field. He can't be 100%. I don't see how that offense does anything against Jacksonville. Jags favored by 7.5. As long as Bortles doesn't melt down and start throwing picks all over again, Jacksonville should win comfortably there. And then the final game of Wild Card Weekend is the 5-seed Carolina at the 4-seed New Orleans. A divisional matchup here. 4:40 Eastern on Sunday. Saints at home, favored by 6.5. Coming off a bad loss to Tampa Bay. Saints a much different team at home in that dome. And Carolina, I didn't like the body language from Cam Newton. I just did not like how they ended up either. So I like the Saints here. And again, they're favored by 6.5. So Vegas has every team favored by at least 6, every home team. So we could see more lopsided games like we did a year ago. Who are you picking for Wild Card Weekend? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. This is episode number 502 of the Sports Report podcast. Paul Roberts with you, fighting a little bit of a cold. You know, I technically was off last week from my radio job, but it's one of those things. You're meeting your high school friends. Then another buddy of mine from high school had a 40th birthday party. Then you have your family get together. We had another family Christmas party to go to the day after Christmas. I mean, it's one thing after another. I'm checking out some local basketball tournaments. And next thing you know, it's like, man, vacation's over. And I got a little bit run down, caught a cold. But remember, kids, it's not how you sound. It's what you say that matters most. But coming with you every week here on the Sports Report podcast, 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. Talked about some of the coaching changes. Del Rio out, and the name you hear over and over again is John Gruden. According to Adam Schefter, Gruden is expected to be the next head coach of the Raiders. Owner Mark Davis may offer a stake in the team's ownership and tons of cash. More on that in a second. Gruden, of course, familiar with Oakland. He coached there from 1998 to 2001. Del Rio actually ended up over 500 for his 3 seasons, 25 and 23, and he lasted longer than any Oakland coach since Gruden. You are hired to be fired in the NFL, especially when you're with the Raiders. He was 7-9 his first year, and then last year they go 12-4. But I give credit to all the Sharpies out there in Vegas. They knew. They all predicted a down season for Oakland, and that is exactly what happened. They go from 12 wins to 6. You know, last year was their first franchise playoff appearance in 14 years. Nobody was thinking about firing Del Rio. This year, 6-10, and he is gone. And you have to think something's in the works with Gruden, because why would you get rid of Del Rio that quickly? I just never thought that Gruden would leave the Monday Night Football booth. You think about it, much less stress, much better hours. You never lose a game, and you're still around the game. Plus, it's not like he was making chump change from ESPN. The guy was making about $6.5 million to broadcast Monday Night Football. A lot of pluses there. Maybe he'll get about $10 million from the Oakland Raiders if he does take this job. But I wonder sometimes, how much is enough? You know, quality of life, I think, is worth a lot more than sometimes we consider. Sometimes we lose track of perspective and quality of life. I think it's very tough to put a price on something like that. I mean, he's going to go from a job with less stress, better hours, and still being around the game to, yeah, he's going to make more money. But now, I mean, this is one of those guys where he's sleeping in the office. He's putting in 20-hour days. He's going to be pulling his hair out with all the penalties that the Raiders had. If you saw him this year, it was penalty after penalty after penalty. I mean, they just made a lot of mistakes. Even that last game against the Chargers, they should have been in that game, and they ended up getting blown out. They just blown coverages, penalties, turnovers, interceptions. There's a lot of mistakes with that team. So his stress level is going to go up. I wonder what his family doctor thinks. But, and this is a Fat Albert size but, if coaching is his passion, and I think we all realize that it is, this is a guy who truly loves the game. You know, when you see him breaking down film with the quarterbacks that are coming out of college into the draft, those special features that he does for ESPN, those things are great. And when you hear him in the booth talking about the X's and O's and his Gruden grinders, very clear he loves the game. If he still has that passion, that love, that desire, then why not? I mean, who am I, who are you to say, no, don't do this? You know me, I'm a to each his own type of guy. So if he wants to come back, hey, more power to him. And I think it's good for the league. I think it's good for the NFL to have John Gruden back because he is a character. granted, his face sometimes does look like Chucky from the horror movies, but he's a character. He's an interesting guy. He gets pumped up. And, you know, that Oakland franchise, they could use a spark. They could use a boost after a very, very disappointing season. They were one of the biggest disappointments in the National Football League. So your thoughts on John Gruden perhaps coming back to the Oakland Raiders? Let me know again on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. So you want to talk about college football, my playoff format, which I think would work best. You want to talk about the NFL playoffs? Who are you picking in the wild card round? If you want to talk about all these coaching changes, who got fired, who's still hanging around, you can do that. And also the Winter Classic. Does the NHL need to make an adjustment as far as the date? All those topics on the table for you on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Once again, on Twitter, I'm at TheSportsRPT. I wish you nothing but the best to you and your entire family and your group of friends out there. If they love sports, your family members, relatives, your friends, your coworkers, people at church, your neighborhood buddies, tell them about the show and tell them to follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I'm at TheSportsRPT. I would appreciate that. Have a great week. I'll talk to you again next week. Happy 2018. We made it. Another year in the books. This has been episode number 502 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.